And let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, as we continue looking at the coming of Christ, we look at the baptism of John, as well as the preaching of John, and then as well the baptism of Jesus by John as he begins his ministry. So let us read together God's word, the 17 verses of John, or of Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we consider as well his preparation for the ministry. John and Jesus were both by now right around 30 years old. And John the Baptizer begins preaching. And he preaches that they are to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, the answer to their problems is right there in verses 13 and following. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be the Savior. We as Christians are called, and all people are called, to repent. And notice what John preaches. Repent, and therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Repentance isn't just saying, "God, I'm sorry, I messed up again." Repentance is a change of heart and a change of life. Jesus goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out." That we as Christians are called not only to just say, "God, I'm sorry." We were called to bear fruits worthy of repentance, that we are to live lives that show that we are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is John prepares the way of Christ with a baptism of repentance and conversion. John prepares the way of Christ with a baptism of repentance and conversion. In verses 1 through 6, we see that John the Baptizer preaches repentance to prepare the way of Christ. And then in verses 7 through 12, we see that John preaches repentance and fruits worthy of repentance. And then in verses 13 through 16, we see that Jesus baptized by John and that he is identified as the very Son of God to us and to all people. So John the Baptizer preaches repentance to prepare the way of Christ. John preaches repentance for Christ's kingdom. He came preaching. He was in the wilderness of Judea. This was an area that was not heavily inhabited. And yet what happened? John is preaching a message which is not terribly, seeker-friendly, like they say nowadays. It was not the message people inherently want to hear. In fact, the Judeans had become very comfortable as they were living. And notice what John says about them. Don't say I'm a child of Abraham. He says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Don't look back on your history and your family line. Don't rely on that. And we often need to be very careful ourselves because many of us have family lines that go back generation and generation. And we can praise the Lord for that. But we must not become complacent that we have been therefore chosen by God to be His people. We are called to live as those who have been bought with that price. And so what does John say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel that John preaches is a gospel of changing their minds. Repentance. Because when we repent of our sins, we change what we think is good, what we think is important. We turn around. The word in Greek actually speaks to a totally changing our minds about things. We join God when we repent and say that is wrong, that is sin, that is evil when I do those things. And he comes in the spirit of Elijah. This was what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah speaks and says that this was to be Elijah that was to come. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The voice of one crying in the wilderness was a title that was also spoken of Elijah. And John, we read, was clothed with camel's hair, with leather belt around his waist. The food he ate was locusts and wild honey. The Jesus spoke to the Jews later on and said, what did you go out to see John with John? Did you see someone clothed in rich apparel in king's houses? No. You went to hear the gospel of repentance, the good news of change, of turning away from sin. And so John followed after the pattern of Elijah, who spent a lot of time in the wilderness bringing the gospel to a nation that would not listen to him. The people of Israel seem to have been much more ready to hear John's message, although the question really becomes, did they believe or did they just go for something to see, something new to notice? We also read about John that his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, if we remember back to the beginning of when Israel went into the promised land, what were they told about the land? It was a land flowing with milk and honey. Wild honey is not something you get much of, do you? Locusts, you got to catch them. They're big grasshoppers. By the way, interestingly enough, locusts were clean food for the Israelites. That's kind of an interesting fact. But this was not an easy life. And yet they went out to hear him because of the message he preached. the message of repentance and the kingdom of heaven being at hand. In fact, so much so that the rulers wondered and asked, "Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm not the Messiah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness," exactly as we read here. And so all Jerusalem and Judea went out to hear John. And many of them were baptized, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now notice, in baptism and in Israel, there were many baptisms. And this was a baptism that was a baptism of repentance. For a group of people who were comfortable where they are, and we live in a culture that's very comfortable where it is, comfortable in sin, in problems. And yet God used John's message to bring people to believe and to repent and to confess their sins. And God's message of the gospel can do that even today. It does not require big, powerful billboards or other things that man might think is important. We need to preach the truth, and we need to believe and confess the truth. As we read, a light is not set under a bushel hidden. It's set on a lampstand, and we as Christians need to live before the world that we are Christians, paid for by the blood of Christ. And we need to confess our sins. The world around us, I think, so often thinks Christians are better than they. And we need to bring to them the gospel that doesn't say, "Yeah, I'm better than you. I try, but I fail miserably. I'm purchased with the blood of Christ, with the price of his blood." And so as John preaches repentance and fruits worthy of repentance, they came confessing their sins to him at the Jordan. But then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came. And as I was reading this and considering this, something struck me very interesting. The Pharisees are the legalists. The Sadducees are the ones, "Oh, it's all okay." The two opposite ends that we think of in the church, right? Sometimes you've got the people who are legalists, you got to do it all perfectly. And on the other end of the situation, you've got the people who say, "It doesn't matter what you do. Just love." And notice that they end up all on the same problem. They end up joining together against Jesus. It's a very interesting fact that people who go overboard either direction from the truth both end up together fighting against the gospel. And so they came to John. He saw many of them. And what did he say? "Hey, great, you guys. We'll be buds. We're going to get along here. You guys are the important guys, right?" What did he say? "Brood of vipers." Whew. That'll get you a church full Sunday morning. "Brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They thought they were important. Their names, and they get names, Sadducees, Pharisees. There was another group called the Essenes, which we don't see much about in the Bible, although they are what was often called the Zealots when we read about that in the Bible. But these groups thought they were important and that their names were important. And John renames them. He says, "This is what you are, a brood of vipers. There is danger in front of you. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They were teaching that we are all okay. They were teaching the Pharisee side. Remember what we hear from different Pharisees at the time of Christ. We hear the young Pharisee say to Jesus, "All this I did from my youth, all the commandments, I got that taken care of." Because they did it according to a human perspective. but it wasn't a heart. Jesus said, you got a problem with the first commandment. Who's your God? And we can easily try to be obedient to all of these things, and who's our God? Our God ends up being ourselves or our things or other things on this earth. Importance, many other different things. John says to these men, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Coming to John is a fleeing. Coming to John in the wilderness is to come out of the ease of this world. To come out of the places where we think we're okay. And our culture says, get along and go along. And John says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Live like you mean it. When we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed again, John would say unto us, live like you mean it. And we need to be working together. That's why I'm very interested in people working together, Christians working together, fighting sin together, living as those who are here to fight against sin, to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Our conference this midwinter, Lord willing, will be along those lines. How do we care for one another? How do we help one another in sin? Not that we confess sins one to another to say, I need, how shall we say it, some sort of theological salvation. But confessing sins, as the Apostle James says, one to another, praying for one another, helping one another to fight sin as the brothers and sisters that we are in Christ. And so John preaches to bear fruits worthy of repentance. And he further says, your ancestors can't save you. Your background. Don't rely on where you come from. We ourselves must bear fruit. They said, we have Abraham as our father. What does he say? For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Being from Eureka Reformed Church doesn't save you. Being Reformed doesn't save you. All of these other things that we can easily hold on to. We need to have lives that show our thanksgiving to God. We need to ourselves take up the banner, take up the cause of Christ in our own lives, as well as to bring that message of the gospel into a world that needs it. And he goes on to say, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The axe is laid. The tree, of course, would be Abraham. But the axe is laid there, ready to cut it down. Other places we hear about branches broken off and grafted in the scriptures. Don't be haughty if we come out of the branch of the historic Christian faith, if we're not living it. We need as Christians to bear good fruit and to glorify God by living lives of thanksgiving and of service to Him. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It cannot be ancestors. We need to have faith in the one who comes after John. That he is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. All who believe on Christ truly have the Holy Spirit within them. God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. And he says, his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather up the wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. You ever threshed out a little grain and let it drop and seen the wind blow through? And see the grain that comes through and the chaff that blows away? Well, God says that the chaff is not going to just blow away. The chaff, and of course Jesus is again renaming the Pharisees and Sadducees, the chaff is going to be burned with unquenchable fire, with hell. And of course the chaff brought to mind for them and ought to bring to our minds Psalm 1. The unbeliever is not so, but is like the chaff that the wind drives away. The unbeliever will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the house. So we have, as Christians, we are called to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Now certainly John confronts specifically the teachers and leaders of these sects that came to him. But we have to understand that this message is for each one of us. Remember what we read at the end of the Beatitudes that we read in verse 20 of Matthew 5. What did it say? Unless your righteousness exceeds, is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now what am I saying? Did I become a Pharisee? Do we have to live perfectly according to Christ's, to God's law? No. But where do we get righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? The only place we can get that righteousness is in Jesus. Is in Christ. His righteousness is perfect. We have nothing to bring before God and say, God, you owe me. The place that we get that righteousness, and certainly we as Christians seek to bear fruits worthy of repentance, that we desire to live in thanksgiving to God according to His commandments. But we're not saved because we live in thanksgiving. We live in thanksgiving because we have been bought with the price of the blood of Christ. And that is what we see here as we see the baptism of Jesus. Jesus then came from Galilee to John at the Jordan. This was a journey down the distance from the north end of Israel all the way to the south end. Yeah, we think, no big deal. We got a car that'll go that in an hour. It wasn't so much back in those days. Jesus specifically came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Now, very interesting. John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. Why is Jesus getting baptized with a baptism of repentance? Because he represents you and I. And he had to take that and to say, I am here representing those who need repentance, who have not lived perfectly, who have failed miserably. Jesus came to the Jordan. The Jordan, of course, being the river that Israel crossed over into the promised land. The Jordan River. And John says, no way here. Wait a second. I need to be baptized by you. I just referred to you. Of course, it could have been a while ago, but this was the message that John was preaching. And he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. I'm not worthy of this. John says, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus responds and says, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill what? All righteousness. This is a part of Jesus fulfilling the righteousness that is necessary for you and I. So that he has everything taken care of for our salvation. Because Jesus, the Son of God, who was perfect his whole life, needed to bear the baptism of repentance among sinners, one of us, because we need to repent of our sins. And notice as well, what going back there to verse 11, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John's got water in his hands. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with God. What an awesome thing it is that Jesus sent out the Comforter to all believers. This is something that boggles my mind and I don't fully understand. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and go away. In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit all the time as believers. And so Jesus was baptized. And we, of course, have one of the great demonstrations of the Trinity here in these next verses. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Now, it wasn't in the form of a dove. Some people say that, and you have pictures of doves all over the place. Like a dove descends is the idea here. It flitted down, as you think about how a dove, when it's coming down perhaps from a roof onto the ground with its wings that way. And what that means, not fully as human beings do we understand. But the Holy Spirit is there as well. A voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We have the Father speaking from heaven. We have Christ being baptized or coming out of the water. And we have the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we forget then to think what these things are. Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, as the Catechism says, to offer himself as prophet, priest, and king. He was anointed. This is his anointing from that perspective to be what he is in his offices. Now, he, of course, is God from his conception. Don't get me wrong. But Christ was further anointed to go about these things. And we have the witness of the Father to him. Before the crowds, before the Pharisees and Sadducees, who would later complain about him and say, "No, we want to kill him." Witnessed that this truly is the Son of God. And remember what one of the charges against him was in the Sanhedrin before Jesus went to the cross. That he claimed to be God. They had very much the witness of that fact in front of their noses. So sad that people who have that sort of thing right in front of their face will not believe. And brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful that we bow ourselves before Almighty God. That we do not rely on our background, our church membership, all of these other things that we can have. But that we rely on Christ. That we are truly converted and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we do bear fruits worthy of repentance. Not because we're saved by those things, but because we are so thankful to our Savior who has fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf for our salvation. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you had in your mind, as we read in Luke, that you spoke at your bar mitzvah to the chief priests and teachers of the law because you needed to be about your father's business. And you have here, before your very mind, that you needed to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you have fulfilled all of the righteousness so that we miserable sinners can have hope and confidence of eternal life. We pray, Lord, give us always more and more confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in the wonderful Savior, the perfection of you, Christ, our most beloved, you who are so beautiful to us. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have completed your work in full in saving us. And we thank you, Lord, that you now ever live to make intercession for us before the Father. And that you have been in all points tempted as we are, yet you have been perfectly without sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you were baptized in our place, in perfection, in a baptism of repentance, to the end that you would fulfill all righteousness for us. For we pray these things, even as you yourself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.